5043. It is also interesting that the cipher word in tears, Felix, is the final word in scanner, i.e. happy. The tied shirt dream was not precog, an ability on my part. It was divine prophecy and promise. It held out hope and fulfilled it. Happy, Felix, may be a cunning reference to Euripides' The Bacchae, in which the stranger, Dionysus in human form, refers to King Pentheus as King of Tears, punning on the Greek word for tears, Pentheus. And the word tears is in the title of my novel. The real message is that he whom Pindar called the Joy God is here. It is a cipher within a cipher. Felix is not a name, but a glossa meaning, among other good things, happy. But happy is a cipher back to a name, i.e., name to word to name. And the final name underlying Felix is Dionysus, the deity who has inserted the message into the inferior bulk has identified himself. The total message from him is, I love you. But he has also elliptically told us who he is. He is the protector of little wild things, like Cernunnos and Shiva. And it is Shiva who possesses the third Ajna eye. Cernunnos equals Shiva equals Dionysus equals Christ, the savior of the trapped, the desperate, the damned, the powerless. 5055. As speculation, but probably accurate, the entity is the Shiva Cernunnos Dionysus Christ Santa Sophia One, transcending any one given religion, involving Zoroaster and Mani and the Gnostics, e.g., it is Greek, Hindu, Iranian, Jewish, Celtic, Christian, Manichaean, and Lord knows what else. Buddha, too. Mani was right when he saw all the religions as one. And the outlines of this one are becoming visible to me. It involves illegitimate temporal power, rulers who have craftily usurped the citadels and branded the rightful god as a fool, a jester, a madman, a criminal, made him marginal. Our real king, who is now ubiquitous, like St. Elmo's fire, everywhere and nowhere, able to, one, take over and replace inanimate objects and causal processes, and, two, living creatures, including humans. Wow. Let's see the usurper tyrant martyr him this time. Paupers and kings. It's all to be seen backward. As I mentioned in Scanner, trash, rock, comics, movies, SF, is gold, and gold is trash. 5060. We are talking about an intrinsic, long-dormant personality capable of functioning on a level high enough to allow it to see, hear, and understand the supernormal universe of the divine, none of which can be perceived by the normal self. More and more, I see myself as an unknowing fifth columnist. Interestingly, if this is so much of my writing, not only points to it, but outright reveals, discloses it. If there are such fifth columnists, i.e. people unaware of slumbering superpersonality within them, timed to go off when they return, and if the prince of this world knows all this, then my writing, without me suspecting, would give me away. First, my writing presents an unvarying cosmological schema in accord with the suppressed Gnostic doctrines. But then, when we get to tears, and perhaps earlier, e.g. faith of ubic maze frolics, encoded messages which are not merely informative, but commands begin to appear. The writing, going all the way back to 53, has identified himself to friend and foe alike. Having assented to this, although unknowingly, he then has an overwhelmingly powerful dream, which must, he feels, be inserted in his novel with the exact proper wording. 11 drafts of that section are necessary before he is satisfied. But the authorities have already perceived that at any time what is mere truth, true revealed information can pass over into encoded command. They think this is all being done deliberately and consciously. Friends, Marxists, think the same thing. Just like we think Bowie knows something, these people think I know something. This is a reasonable assumption. Thus, the house gets hit and the papers read and stolen. But they show nothing. 5063. I saw in 374 how the great purposeful force, entity of the universe, works backward, theologically. Vast long-range patterns emerge. A little four-year-old boy hears a cowboy song, and then 45 years later, hears it again, sung by his favorite singer. The retrograde pull is there. It can be said that when he was four, he was inordinately drawn to it because of her singing it 45 years later. It can be said correctly that when her first record came out in the 60s, he was inordinately drawn to her because 6 years later, she would sing that song. There can be no real understanding of the universe when only the efficient causes are studied. They lack the conscious, deliberate purpose of final causes. No sense can be made of cause and effect linear time events. The past does not make the future. The future uses the antecedent universe as a chaotic stockpile, which it assembles into a structure, cosmos. To understand, we must discern the negentropic developments. But to do this, we would have to be able to remember the future with the same clarity that we remember the past, and this we can't do. This, then, is where faith must come in. In every event, we must, by faith, presume a benign purpose, which, could we see all which is to come, would delight us. We would be especially delighted to see how intrinsically evil events become used as building blocks for noble structures, and are, in fact, essential for the ultimate construction of those fine systems. Nothing is wasted. Nothing is futile. Nothing is lost. Everything is eventually, when its time has come, snatched up and incorporated. 5076. Funny how I perceive, in terms of images, of the world being continually spun by something like a spider. Well, I did see the spinner at work, and the world as his artifact. Don't the Brahmins conceive of the veil of Maya being spun by Kali? And there is deception or illusion involved. We are in the web, caught in it, with no idea at all of its artifactual nature, and the furiously moving, spinning, and arranging spinner. To take it, i.e., the world as authentically real, would be the same as taking a TV image and program and its dramatic contents as real. It, too, is spun by a fast-moving dot, and that which the dot spins is fictitious. 5082. As in Plato's Timaeus, the steersman, artificer, intervenes to correct drift, a drift toward anime, perhaps periodically exerting pressure on the developing artifact. This is the adventitious overruling from time to time that involved me in 2374. It is exactly analogous to the occasional firing of jets in a spacecraft to minutely correct its trajectory. Only this ship is moving through time, not space. But the artifact does not quite exist, as does the artificer, since it is in constant flux. 5083. I have reached a dead end in my exegesis, which by its very nature will not and cannot be surmounted. It has to do with the fall and resulting loss of memory, and complete loss of some faculties and a degrading of others. Calvin. The cause of this fall is occluded off by its very nature. It is as if crucial memory tapes, as in maze, got erased. Once erased, by the definition of the problem, their contents can neither be retrieved nor reconstructed. During my period of anamnesis, I remembered back thousands of years. I even remembered coming here to this planet from the stars. But I don't know what causes the fall, the amnesia and blighting of the pristine nature. I have no insight, no understanding, no clue. All right, we humans are fragments of the very Godhead that we seek to rejoin. Salvador Salvandus. Did we blight ourselves intentionally? Or is it a punishment, as Genesis says, or a cruelty inflicted on us, i.e. on the Godhead, by an adversary? Did we want to come here, or were we exiled here? The vine, Christ, which was pruned by God and the severed cuttings placed in a world where God is the Deus absconditus, to judge each of us individually, to see which of us find a world lacking in God to be sufficient, and which of us, without intellectual ideation, grieve for that loss and miss our Father and home and yearn with the greatest pain possible to return. This is all I know. As K.W. says, the trail doesn't just peter out. It ends at a brick wall. The exegesis is a failure in terms of answering questions. For each answer derived, an even greater mystery is exposed. We fell. We lost our memories. We are cut off from God. Those faculties by which we apprehend Him are destroyed or not functioning. Plach. Plach. Weep for this separation. And not to know why it happened. We can never find God. He must find us, as that little paperback I picked up at the Oakland airport says. Oh God, Hilfe, ich bin so einsam. Wenn kommst du mein Heil? Note, German. Help, I am so lonely. When will you come, my salvation? Drawn from Bach's cantata BWV 140, Sleepers Awake. End note. My work has failed. I neither understand nor remember, and the Elohim gone from my sight and silent. I can't find Him. Only when we rejoin and are together will I know what the erased tape concerning the fall had on it. He will find me, and at last I will understand. I know no more than Xenophanes, and he was just about the first philosopher. And he said, we can never know for sure, and even if we were right, we wouldn't know it. Xenophanes. One God there is, in no way like mortal creatures, either in bodily form or in the thought of his mind. Fragment 23. The whole of him sees, the whole of him thinks, the whole of him hears. Fragment 24. He stays always motionless in the same place. It is not fitting that he should move about now this way, now that. Fragment 26. But effortlessly, he wields all things by the thought of his mind. Fragment 25. This is what I saw, zebra or vallis. But it was not I who saw. It was God within me seeing God outside, Brahman and Atman, I suppose. Only God can see God. He wielded me from inside me, effortlessly. The above prayer was answered by my mistakenly reading the entry in the exegesis of Philip K. Dick on Jakob Burma. 5085. Scanner. To forge out of torment the rough-hewn shape. This is probably the happiest moment of my life. I can say to this moment, stay. Here is the fallen black cat on my lap. I am listening to Stevie Nicks on my Stax phones. The Golantz edition of Scanner arrived today. They say it is a human document. Yes, their flat blurb word is document. One of the most human documents they have ever read. Not the most sensational, but most human. It's concern for people. It is a beautiful book, qua book. Jim Westaway's words on the back dust jacket. And what KW saw, the link between my intro to Ruge, what I did in my first sold story 27 years ago, and in Scanner, Voice for those without voices. The pain has left me. Even if it's just for a limited time, I appreciate it. What best can I do? Exactly what I've done. My voice for the voiceless. And two, God answered my prayers regarding the exegesis by leading me to Jacob Burma. Note: this passage reveals much about the logic of the exegesis and rewards close scrutiny. Here Dick is in great joy. The masterful A Scanner Darkly is hot off the press, and Stevie Nicks is in the headphones. It must be dreams from rumors. I see the crystal visions. Yet only one page before, Dick is in full metaphysical despair. He scribbles a lamentation in German. The second half is drawn from Bach's cantata, BWV 140, Sleepers Awake. At the bottom of that page, as an unnumbered footnote, he declares that this prayer had been answered when he subsequently stumbled across the Britannica entry on Jacob Burma. Though it is hard to imagine how one reads an encyclopedia passage by mistake, this random access is important to Dick because it removes his will from the equation, implying cosmic intention. In other words, God answered his lament by guiding him to Burma, in whom he discovered a secret sympathy across time. However, this whole episode is complicated by the appearance 64 pages earlier, entry 5019 above, of the unusual phrase, divine abyss. This is a fundamental term in Burma's mystical scheme, where it denotes the emptiness of the Urgunt, the God beyond God. Its appearance earlier in this folder, particularly in quotation marks, strongly suggests that Dick had begun reading about Burma sometime before uttering in writing his German prayer. This is a common pattern in the exegesis. A motif is casually introduced, and later blooms into a matter of such great significance that it changes the visionary narrative in retrospect. E.D. Endnote. Somewhere between the truths revealed to Burma and to me, the correct model lies. The Blitz as Urgund encounters the lowest third of the secondary material triad, the divine agony at opposition between the Urgund and physical nature, and the process not of abolishing physical nature but transmuting it. This is what I saw Zebra doing, which I termed transubstantiation by a sentient plasmatic entity. Out of this transmutation of the empirical universe by the divine comes harmony between the upper triad, spiritual, and the lower, empirical. A German cobbler in 1616, and me. For him, sunlight reflected from a pewter dish. For me, the golden fish necklace. And in the light cast by the Spirit, the incarnation of the Son, God as heart, is disclosed, and the kingdom, reconciliation between the two triads, achieved. After reading about Burma, I can see why I was getting nowhere. My schema was naive, far too simple. 5087. What must be bravely faced is that the entire world or cosmos is not yet subjugated to the divine will. It stands, so to speak, at a 51-49 ration between divine modulation and mere efficient determinism. Evil, death, loss, disappointment, and suffering and illness are not abolished yet, but are very slightly tamed over and above their non-divine James nature. It's like the trade balance of a country. Well, in the universe, in 1974, we passed over to a slightly greater export than import ratio. This is hard to accept. Nature fights God. The designs, e.g. DNA, etc., are not designs of the divine, the natural theology argument to the contrary. These designs are efficient cause design, Darwin, and not teleological. They have no wisdom or real end goal purpose. They are blind. We must always keep in mind reality as process. A. N. Whitehead.